obviously, might say necessarily inferred from looking at the passage, God had commanded an animal sacrifice. And regardless of how sincere Cain might have been in his sacrifice, it was not the sacrifice that God had specified. It was not an animal sacrifice. And therefore, God did not respect Cain's sacrifice, but he did respect Abel's sacrifice. Remember, the story goes on to say that God help a lot. Another good example that we have of very specific authority is the ark. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, God said to Noah, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and outside with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. Set the door of the ark inside, you shall make it with lower, second, and third steps. Make yourself an ark. Ark in Hebrew means box. We understand that the ark of the covenant was a box. Noah was commanded to make a three-story box. But I will establish my covenant with you. You shall go into the ark, you, your son, your wife, and your of their kind will come to you, keep them alive. You shall take for yourself all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them. Thus God did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. So, very great undertaking that was given to Noah. He revered God, he kept that task that was given to him, and a great task it was, not only of building the ark, but the construction means that they had in those days, but of also equipping the ark. All would have been fruits and vegetables of some kind, all animals, including Noah and his family, were only authorized by God to eat vegetables at this particular time. Not until after the flood that God would authorize man to eat animals and so forth. And apparently, after the flood is when started eating each other. But you can imagine gathering enough fruits and vegetables to feed all these animals and Noah and his family for a year, basically, and to keep them all alive. God was assisting Noah with all. Many renditions of what the ark looked like. This is probably pretty close. The window being a cubit above, the window that would run the length of the ark, had an opening at the top. Diagram shows how that it's possible that the top of the ark opened that way. I don't know if nobody knows. Noah recognized the specificity of it, revered it, and practiced what God taught him to do. Of course, another great Old Testament example of generic and specific authority is found with Nadab and Abihu. In Leviticus chapter 10, in the first three verses, it says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took a censer and put fire in it and put incense on it. Offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. The fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified. So Aaron held his peace. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, were in charge of igniting fire from the sacrificial altar, take the incense, you go into the tabernacle, you go over to the altar, to the altar of incense, place the incense on the altar, place the fire inside the altar, and you've done exactly what the Lord has told you to do. Very specific, and it excluded any other way of doing it. Oh. Goes on to say, Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you."
It might have been that. Now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord sought himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. So when God
talking about element of regularity. It's not just any first day of the week, it's the first day of every week. If there is a week and it has a first day, that's the day that we're supposed to assemble and observe the Lord's Supper and to lay by in store as God has prospered us. To do otherwise would be to do as Saul. The observance of Christmas and Easter as a religious holiday in remembrance of the birth or the death of Christ. Such is to act foolishly. Such is to not recognize, not revere, and not practice that which we are authorized to do, which God has specifically authorized. Colossians 3 and verse 16, very similar to that, says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace, with favor in your hearts to the Lord." Because of our reverence for God, because of our respect for God, because of our desire to practice what God has given us and ordered us to do, we sing and sing only. God has specified singing that excludes then any other type of music. It excludes instrumental music. It excludes instrumental accompaniment of singing. Try to make that argument to me that, well, we're singing, you know, we're just adding an instrument. We're not, but they're not respecting the exclusivity of a specific command. It's a specific command excludes all other ways of making. All over the world to Jerusalem to observe Passover. But while they are there for this Passover, they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. 3,000 and more obeyed the gospel and continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in Jerusalem. They continued their stay. And just as you and I might plan a trip to go someplace and we take a certain amount of money with us, certain amount of supplies or whatever to supply us on that trip. So they had done also, but they continued to stay in Jerusalem. So they, these who were traveling, became in need. But these brethren, these who believed, shared what they had among themselves. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, we see, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They continued to materially support one another throughout these days of continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Very similar to that, we find in Acts chapter 6 that in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenist, Grecian Jews, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." So the ones that are being relieved in the daily distribution are disciples. We see the same thing in principle found here in Acts 11 and verses 27 through 30. It says, "And in those days the prophets from Jerusalem came to Antioch, and one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Jerusalem. This they did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So this famine was going to come upon the whole world, but the responsibility of the disciples was to their brethren, not to citizens of the whole world. In 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, we see that as this continued for a year or two, it says, "Concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." So they're taking up a collection for the saints. Romans 15 and verses 25 through 26, Paul says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." As he is concluding his third missionary journey, as we sometimes refer to it, he says, "I'm going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution among the poor saints who are in Jerusalem." The saints were not the only ones suffering from this famine, but the saints were the only ones that the church was relieving. And you can also look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 1 and verse 12, each specifying that the benevolent work of the church congregate was to disciples, to saints, to believers, to brethren, not to the general population of the world. Now, I realize and you realize that there are many other examples that we could use of generic and specific authority. And we'll kind of get into some of those probably next week. Because next week I want to talk about expediencies. In the area of generic authority, where we have a choice as to how to do things, then that's where expediencies come in. And so we'll talk about some of that next week. But hopefully just a quick review of these few examples from Scripture of generic and specific authority remind us of the importance, the supreme importance of recognizing the difference between generic and specific authority. And that where God has specified, we must not generalize. That where God has specified, He has excluded every other thing that we might come up with for whatever reason we might come up with. Where God has been general, then He has granted us liberty to carry out that command. God was very specific in the plan of salvation also. He said, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Baptism, of course, is an immersion in water. Pouring water over someone, sprinkling water on someone is not baptism, is not immersion. God has been very specific about that and very specific about the importance of it. He's given us the reason for it. Acts 22 and verse 16, Ananias said to Paul, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and what? Wash away your sins. Paul told those on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. So God has been very specific about many things, very important things. And where God has been specific, we need to recognize how important they are and how important it is that we don't make the mistake of Cain and we don't make the mistake of Saul and we don't make the mistake of Nadab and Abihu and generalize where God has specified. If you're subject to the invitation tonight in any way, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.